from Ecclesiastes chapter 2. There are notes in the front and the back if you didn't get them coming in. And we started a few weeks ago a new study on the book of Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is the most philosophical book in the Bible. And we have to remember a couple of things. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does that mean? Life is empty. It's nothing. Okay? And the other phrase is under the sun. Okay? That means looking at life under the sun, not above the sun. Looking at life from a total human perspective. Okay? There's no thought of God in this. Once in a while, at like the end of this chapter, we'll see that Solomon comes back to God, but we see that he tries so many things under the sun. So, disgusted with life, okay? How many people have you spoken to in your gospel encounters or in your time talking with people that have told you that they're either they're sick of or they're disgusted with life? You know, it's a very common thing. And remember, it's good for us to also study Ecclesiastes because, number one, it shows the emptiness of man's best. Okay, the best that man can do is empty, and it also is good for our apologetics, for our witnessing, for our defense of the faith. You know, the best that man can do without God is vanity, emptiness. So, as part of Solomon's quest for the good life, okay, Solomon examined everything from the sublime to the ridiculous. And in the great laboratory of life, he experimented with one thing after another, always applying the wisdom, though, that God gave him. Verse 3, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold of folly, that I might see what was the good for the sons of man, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. And then verse 9 says, so I was great, increased more and more than all that were before me. Also my wisdom remained with me. So there was a time that Solomon reverted back to his wisdom, but then there was also another time that he just did all these experiments without thinking of God. So in this chapter, Solomon recorded three stages in his experiments. As he searched for a satisfying meaning to life, he tested life, he hated life, but then he accepted life. Okay? So let's look at these. He tested life, verses 1 to 11, and notice the enjoyment, verses 1 to 3. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold of folly till I might see what was that good from the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. So enjoyment. Now, the Hebrew people, and remember Solomon was the king of the Jews, the Hebrew people rightly believe that God made man to enjoy the blessings of his creation. Okay? One of the things that God did with his creation, he made it so that we could enjoy it. Okay? And this is, we won't go there, but this is what Psalm 104 is all about. It's a psalm praising God for the creation. But look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Should we enjoy life? 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, notice the last phrase, who giveth us richly all things to what? Enjoy. God has given us all things to enjoy. But Solomon, with all that King Solomon had, he still was unhappy. He still was unhappy. Look what Solomon himself says. Just go back a couple pages in your Bible. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 13 says, "Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." So even Solomon was still not happy after he tried all of these experiments. Here's why. Pleasure seeking usually becomes a selfish endeavor. If you are only seeking for pleasure, who are you seeking to please? Yourself, okay? And selfishness destroys true joy. If you live for pleasure alone, enjoyment will decrease unless the intensity of the pleasure increases, okay? And, you know, the next thing has to be bigger. It has to be better. It has to be more pleasurable. And so, you know, if you live for pleasure alone, enjoyment will decrease unless the intensity of pleasure increases. When pleasure alone is the center of life, the result will ultimately be disappointment and emptiness. And so one of the things that Solomon did was he sought enjoyment, but enjoyment totally for himself. It was totally self-seeking. And in this self-seeking for joy, he came up empty. So he tests out, not only he tested life for the pleasure of it, but letter B, for employment, verses 4 to 11. And notice the great works that he did. "I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therein the wood that bringeth forth trees." So think of the great works that Solomon did. Think of the temple. At the time, the temple was one of the wonders of the world. He built temple. He built houses. He built cities. He made gardens. He made vineyards. He made orchards. He made forests. And he irrigated all of these things. And everything he did, all of these works, they were great works. He had a great number of workers. Look at the first part of verse 7. "I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house." 1 Kings, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Kings 5:13 said that he had 30,000 Jewish men working for him. Could you imagine having that many people work for you? 30,000. He had great wealth, the latter part of verse 7. "Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments, and that of all sorts." Culture and arts. And if you read through the book of Kings, and you see some of the animals he had bought to the palace, you know, apes and all kinds of, you know, exotic animals. And think of all the musicians. He was cultured. He had culture, and the arts were there. And he had great wisdom, verses 9 to 11. "So I was great and increased more and more all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Yet, you know, think about, with all that Solomon accomplished, with building all that he built, with having all the people work for him who work for him, having all this culture around him and all these wonderful buildings around him, he still wasn't what? Still wasn't satisfied. Still wasn't satisfied. Work alone never satisfies, no matter how successful you are. Now, again, remember, folks, we're looking at this what? Under the sun, okay? Life without God. Workaholics, maybe you know a workaholic, maybe you are a workaholic, but workaholics often are trying to escape something and spend all their time working. I remember working with some guys at the drilling company when I worked there when I was going to Bible school. And some of the guys would purposely work as much overtime as they want because they didn't want to go home, you know, to be with the family. So work. You know, they weren't satisfied. They weren't satisfied. So you would think Solomon, the man who had everything, the man who did everything, the man who enjoyed life, and the man who built just about everything, would be satisfied. And what's his conclusion? With all of those things alone, there's no satisfaction. Which led him to hate life, verses 12 to 23. He considered his wisdom. Look at verse 12, please. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. And what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise than I said in my heart, that this also is vanity? And there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth a wise man? As the fool. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that it wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, and all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So even though he considered his wisdom, and even though he could look around and say, look, the wise, it's better to be wise than a fool, because the wise has light. He walks with his eyes open. The fool walks with his eyes closed. He's dark in the darkness. But since both the wise man and the fool die, what's the value of wisdom? What's the value of wisdom, Solomon says, remember, under the sun, if all we're going to do is die? Okay? You ever hear, you know, this expression, all we do is pay taxes and die? Wow. I mean, but that's kind of the attitude Solomon has here. It says he hated life. And then the wise man and the fool, when they both die, they're both forgotten. You go to the cemetery and you see all these tombstones and you can't tell who was wise and who wasn't, who was rich, who was old, who was a good worker, who wasn't. They're just all dust and bones. He considered his wealth. He was disgusted with his wealth because, A, he couldn't keep it. Verse 18, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto man that should be after me. There's a Jewish proverb that says, there are no pockets in death shrouds, which kind of means you can't take it with you when you go. We've all said that, right? We've probably heard people say, you know, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it, you know. But, you know, it's you can't take it with you. And Solomon hated his riches because he couldn't keep it. He couldn't protect it. Verses 19 and 20. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor, wherewith I have labored, and wherewith I have showed myself wise under the sun? This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. So Solomon hated everything he had and everything he did because he couldn't, number one, take it with him, and number two, he couldn't protect it. We must leave our money behind, and those we leave it behind may waste it, just like Solomon's son Rehoboam did. It's exactly what he did. He left it to him, and he wasted it all. And in a matter of weeks, he divided the kingdom that his father had sought to build and unite. He couldn't enjoy it as he should, verse 21 to 23. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of his vexation of his heart, wherewith he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travails grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. You know what rich people worry about? Their wealth. They worry about the markets. What happened during the Great Depression when the stock market crashed? How many rich people lost their fortune and then took their own lives? So rich people worry about their wealth. Very few rich people enjoy their wealth. This makes life miserable and often long, sleepless nights. I have no money. I sleep well at night. But, you know, the other things keep me up, but not that. But you know, but people who have great wealth worry about it. And that's exactly what Solomon is talking about here. I can't keep my wealth. I can't protect it from the people I'm going to give it to. And he couldn't enjoy it as he should. Therefore, he couldn't enjoy it as he should. Solomon's conclusion: what good is wisdom and wealth if you are going to die and leave everything behind? Boy, this is a pretty depressing chapter, isn't it? But you know, this is life under the sun for mostly everybody we come in contact with. What are you working for? What's the sense of it all? Why go to work and get a big house and a fancy car and have a big bank account just to die? What's the purpose? Under the sun, there is no purpose, right? But, of course, we know the end of the book, but, you know, but there is. So what did Solomon do? Well, he accepted life. Look at verses 24 to 26. Solomon comes to the conclusion. Now, this is the first conclusion of six in the book, okay? He thinks through these things, and with his wisdom, he comes to a conclusion. And here's the first conclusion that he comes to. Thank God for what you do have and enjoy it to the glory of God. If you have a lot, thank God for it. If you have a little, thank God for it. And whatever you have, use it to bring glory to God. Enjoyment is a blessing from God. Verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Enjoyment is a blessing from God. Isn't it great when you can sit down around a table for a meal with family and friends, you know, in a warm house, you know, enjoying food that you've bought because God has given you a job and you have the health and to do that. See, that's what we should do. We should thank God for it. Food is a blessing from God. Look at verse 25. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? Now, listen carefully to the literal rendering of that verse 25 in Hebrew. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment except from him? The I there at the end is not Solomon talking, but it's God. So thank God that we can eat, and thank God that we can enjoy all of this, because it comes from him. What does the Bible say? He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And he gives food for all of us. So what should we do? What is this first conclusion that Solomon comes to? Seek to please the Lord, verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. It is vanity for sinners to heap up riches and yet ignore God. Okay? You have all of this wealth for what? Right? Apart from God, there can be no true enjoyment of blessings or enrichment of life. Who does the atheist, who is the atheist thankful to? Himself? His life is meaningless. His life is vanity. His life is vexation. We have a holiday coming up called Thanksgiving, which has always been a holiday where people have thanked God for his provisions, for the plenteous harvest. And Thanksgiving makes no sense in a land that doesn't believe in God. Makes no sense. Apart from God, there can be no true enjoyment of blessings or enrichment of life. It is good to have the things that money can buy, provided you don't lose the things that money can't buy. Okay? It is good to have the things that money can buy, provided you don't lose the things that money can't buy. What can't our money buy? Of course, our salvation, our relationship with God. Can't buy us forgiveness of sins, you know. Can't buy us our love of our family and things like that. Don't lose sight of all of that. You know, but it's good to have the things that money can buy. God doesn't want us to be, monks living on top of a mountain who take vows of poverty. And, you know, he doesn't want that. He wants us to enjoy his creation and to have those things and to thank God for it. How do we apply this? Turn to a parable in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. Luke 12:13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So right away, here is a parable about Jesus going, money, right? Talk to my brother. He needs to divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, okay? Thought within himself. There's no thought of God here under the sun, right? He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, but is not rich towards God. So, here was a man who had things that money could buy, but he didn't have the things that money couldn't buy. He gained the whole world, but he lost what? His soul. And here's what Solomon was looking at. You know, the wise and the fool, they all die. And you can't take it with you. Whenever I read this parable, I can't help but think of a man in the town I grew up in. His name was Bill Beadle, and he owned Beadle's Golf. And it was a very successful gas station and repair shop. And he had a five-bay shop, big shop. And he was a very successful businessman. And he retired. And the day after his retirement, he died of a massive heart attack. You know, everybody said, oh, he didn't get to enjoy, you know, his retirement. He didn't get to enjoy all that he had. I don't know if he knew the Lord. I mean, I was a young man when he died. I don't know. But could you imagine gaining the whole world and losing your soul? And that's what so many people are doing. Remember, this is Solomon looking at life under the sun or without God. But when you bring God into the picture, everything changes, doesn't it? When you bring God into the picture, everything changes. Life and death change. We live differently. We die differently. Wisdom and wealth. We're given wisdom through God's word. And the wealth that we have, we know what to do with it. They're all in his hands. Our life, our death, our wisdom, our wealth, it's all in his hands. We give it back to him. He wants us to enjoy his blessings because this brings him glory. You know, it brings him glory when you sit around the table and you bow your heads and you truly thank God for the food that you're about to receive. Not just say a quick prayer, you know. Lord, let's eat before it gets cold. You know, thanks for the grub or what. You know, we need to truly thank God for what he's provided. This brings him glory. But if we rejoice in the gifts but forget the giver, then we are ungrateful idolaters. If we rejoice in the gifts but we forget the giver, we're just ungrateful idolaters. And we need to thank God for everything he gives us. And this is what we should do. Be ye thankful, the Bible says. Bring God glory. So friends, every single one of us knows people who are laboring and working and saving. Some are getting ahead, some are not getting ahead. Some are spinning their wheels. Some can't ever seem to get ahead. There's always too much bills for the paycheck that I have, you know? And all of them are just struggling and laboring under the sun without God. And what a timely book Ecclesiastes is to look at how people today are living under the sun without God. And take these lessons, but don't forget when you look at the book and when you read the book, this is Solomon's conclusion of life without God. And if anybody had a life that should have been enjoyed to the max, who was it? Solomon. You know, Solomon didn't call in Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey. He was Ringling Brothers, you know, and he was the great architect. He was the great builder. He had all the wealth there was to have. And it was all vanity. But Solomon died and went into the ground and turned to ashes, just like the fool. And that's life without God. But life with God is very different. Let's pray. Father, thank you.